Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness. I'm so sorry.
So does it hurt for you to even say that? Is that why you're laughing? Okay,
I also just said something like wildly inappropriate, like right before.
That's okay. They're not going to hear that. So I'm Penn Holderness. I'm just going to grab the mic here. This is the Holderness Family Podcast. We are so thrilled that you are joining us here.
So thrilled.
We like to center these podcasts sometimes around a story. And today's story is... I was in the other room.
I don't know why this is so funny.
Just hanging out, getting ready to do this podcast, which is, maybe we should have done this yesterday, because this podcast acts as a stress release for us, correct?
Does.
Like it's, we use this to decompress, to have some time for each other. It's really the only time we have for each other. The rest of the time we're working together, we're parenting together, and it's not about us. It's about other people. Mm-hmm. It's not about us as individuals or us as a couple. And so I'm just getting ready to do this, and we're doing our team brainstorming meeting and trying to think about, you know, like what's the story we tell today? And then the story happened that Kim, what were you doing exactly?
You guys, I was trying to take off my socks from a standing position, and my back just went like, if my back could speak or make noise, it would go, oh, because it just like went like, oh,
I don't like that noise, but and for my own reasons, but go ahead.
Yes. And okay. We have so many stories to tell. And so my back was like, you're done.
Yep.
And so I know myself well enough to know that my body reacts to stress
it
in
does.
Different ways. And it literally, my back, and I think it's a common kind of physical cue for people, but my back is the area that says, you know what, girl, you're going to lay on your ass and you are just going to sit here and deal with life right now. And so whenever I'm going through times of great stress, my back, and I like to avoid stress as we all do and avoid emotion. And so my back is like, you're done.
Right.
Sit down and deal with it. And then that's why it was so funny. The minute Penn hit record, we were testing mic levels and we got this email from one of the kids' school saying there's a mandatory sports parents meeting. And I was like, no, I'm not going. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And they send it like the day before. No, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. Please take my kid off the team. Please. All right. That would solve some stress.
We're obviously going to back up and explain why you're feeling this way. So the story of the day, which it's a story time always helps, is Kim was putting on or taking off a sock?
Taking off.
Just taking off a sock, which you could have just done by taking one foot and just pushing down on the bottom of it, unless it was like a, you know, high sock. We'll talk about that later. And she pulled her back out. And we just looked at each other and we were like, this is it. This is your body telling you to chill out. And like, I want to dive into that and I want to hear some of the things that you've learned, because Kim, over the course of the last month or so, you've like, I know that you have identified the need for some self-care and some therapy, and you've gone down this road where I like, you know, I kind of want to like mooch off of it, because I feel like some of the things that you're learning could be really helpful for me too. Cause we just got done with this summer of parenting that involves like, it's almost entirely centered around our kids and seeing like what kind of potential and athletic development they can have, whether it's through tennis or basketball. And I think we're guilty of like getting into it. What's the right way to say getting into it a little bit too much? What's the right way?
I don't even think the reason for the stress is even important, because I feel like everybody has their own stress, and it's just
understandable.
Yeah. Just to say that like this season in our life, there's like the parenting stress, but also in our like work life, there's, you know, stress in our family life. There's news we weren't expecting. Like there's all of these like things that every single person listening to this has. So I sought out the guidance recently from a friend who gives just perfect chef's kiss advice. And I was talking because it was one of those moments where I was like, I have so much, I've endured a lot of very stressful things in my life. We all have, but like the tiniest little things were setting me off. And what I perceive as tiny is, you know, it's not life and death situations. And I was still really I was very overwhelmed by it. And she said, you know, and I'm actually going to read, cause I like wrote some of this stuff down because the interaction was so funny. All the emotions and everything I was feeling in that moment and feeling today is totally self-inflicted. None of that stuff is like a real tangible, scary thing that's causing me physical harm. My own emotions are literally in this moment causing me physical harm. And she's like, you do realize that this is all self-inflicted. Like these emotions, like that's not a real scary thing that's happening to you. You know, why is this happening? I'm like, oh, because I want the people in my life. I just want them to be happy.
Right.
You know, the XYZ people, I need them to be happy. She's like, why? I'm like, because I care about them. And she's like, well, of course you care about them, but why do you need them to be happy? And I was like, because happiness is more enjoyable than being sad. Happiness is easier than being sad. Happy is life affirming, and sadness is bad. And she's like, but you really can't know true happiness and experience those moments of happiness if you haven't also experienced like the sadness and all of the things that you have to know the opposite for the happiness to be true. And I was like, and then she asked me the question, why is happiness the goal? Why are you aiming for your children, your family, your friends? Like, why is it that you want them to be happy? Like, why is that the goal? When really it should just be this neutrality and the knowledge to know that you can handle any emotion that's thrown at you.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about that a little bit? Because I understand what she's saying, she's the boss, right? Like she's a licensed professional in this world. But didn't you have a tough time at first understanding that? Because happiness is probably by definition the absence of pain and struggle. It's contentment, and it is a really great place to live in, or at least to be, you know, if you're on a seesaw, right, and one side is happiness and one side is pain and suffering, you want to at least be either like in the middle or like slightly leaning toward happy, not necessarily like all the way at the bottom like I always was, because I was sometimes bigger than some of the people in elementary school, but at least like teetering a little bit in that direction, right?
I would think so. And I think, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can just acknowledge that happiness is not, happiness is not real, is not the thing to say. Happiness should not be the goal, because once you get there, it is impossible to stay there.
So that then is true.
That if you are in those, I'm thinking of those just like true exhilarating moments. They're inevitably there is a neutrality,
yeah,
and there's a balance that comes after those moments.
We talked about that after winning the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Right? There was that like euphoria, and it just doesn't, it's not sustainable.
Right. And so perfect example. I remember looking at you running through that tunnel, and I remember, like, I have to remember this feeling because it's the coolest feeling ever.
Yeah.
And it was exhilaration, disbelief. It was 1,000 emotions into one. Like, that moment of winning was relief, and it was happiness. It was happiness, true happiness. Immediately following was we had to make a flight. I was in the same clothes, sweaty, disgusting, trying to change in an airport bathroom, trying to find our flight. They put us in the international terminal. We got caught in security twice, literally off the finish line to an airplane. Yeah. Stress. So it was, but if I put so much onto the stress of that, like the fact that, oh, I'm not happy anymore, then that creates more sadness. So I do know this also, that this is a muscle I have to exercise, because let me tell you, avoiding emotion, avoiding sadness, I'm gonna say avoiding negativity and avoiding sadness is, I'm like black belt level. I will do about anything to avoid. If I feel
me too
tension,
we do it in different ways.
We do it in different ways. So I scroll. I immediately, if I feel tension or anything uncomfortable in a conversation, a work meeting, I see myself in a TV show, especially if I don't like what's happening in a TV show, I reach for my phone. I start scrolling because I can't deal with the discomfort of watching that show. Right.
And then I have to describe when all of the gory deaths happen in Stranger Things, yeah. I have to vanilla describe that to you.
But we're going to be okay with that. So, or I honestly take a walk to the pantry. I grab, you know, and my desk right now is like really close to the kitchen.
And these are avoidance behaviors based on a lot of times external factors, not necessarily something that's happening internally. I just want to, you said it at the beginning, but I want to keep hammering that because I thought that was so profound. What she said was that this was like, I'm not saying it's nothing, but that there are parts of this that you are now learning that are self-inflicted.
Yeah. And I have to say, I am learning now, and I almost want to apologize to my kids. And I'm going to be looking for the moments, because they will come, where there's that extreme disappointment. Because when I see my kids disappointed, which happens because they're humans, I am trying to do a better job of just letting them be sad. I've been really aware of that for a couple of years, and even asking them, hey, do you just need to be sad right now? Let's be sad, you know? But I very quickly, I will allow them to be sad and say, yeah, this sucks, I'm so sorry. I'll do that, but then I'll start the tap dance, which is, you know what? Everything in my life, this is true, everything in my life that is worth having and that I value and that I love is because of a job I did not get that I had prayed for. A relationship that I thought I wanted that ended in flames. You know, like there was a guy I was dating forever and I really loved him. He was cheating on me the whole time. I was devastated. But if that had not happened, I never would have met you. I never would have moved and met you.
Yeah, I'm always just like so grateful for that guy.
I know, right? Like that is the best thing that ever happened.
And the girl. Like, who?
The girl that cheated.
I'm grateful for both of them. I'm like, thank you. Thanks for getting her to a state where she would stoop.
Stop it.
To this level. And just like the greatest rebound of all time.
Stop it.
I Charles Barkley the heck out of you.
Stop it.
It was great. Yeah, sorry.
I quickly jump in with, you know what? You didn't make the team or whatever it is I'm trying to cheer him up from. But that just means this will happen. And that's not necessarily what, I mean, it kind of minimizes that emotion that I'm trying to get them to feel.
Yeah. And we will be right back.
Mom.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy.
Opening up to a therapist might feel uncomfortable, cathartic, exhausting, or even exhilarating. But one thing's for certain, if you keep talking or texting with a licensed therapist, you will gain insights and uncover truths that you can only find in therapy.
Get those personal breakthroughs and judgment-free support by signing up for Talkspace.
At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours.
There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy.
Talkspace is also affordable and in-network with most major insurers.
To celebrate May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering every listener of this podcast $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com/Holderness.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/Holderness to get $80 off your first month with code SPACE80. And to show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com/Holderness with code SPACE80.
I'm really glad you've had her as a resource. I want to talk to her about my week and try to explain away my week. Because I don't understand why my priorities are what they are right now. I think I'm just so all in on parenting that... that part about that, like seeing my children disappointed or upset because they either lost something athletically or they didn't, you know, lead up, you know, work up to their expectations. That's what has kind of dominated my brain this week. And it's the same week that I found out that we're about to start this cycle again with my second parent. For those of you who listen to the podcast, my father passed away a couple of months ago.
It was like a month ago. So
was it a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was June. It was June, but it was mid June. Yeah. It was a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still pretty recent for me. It's like even hard to quantify the time because we'd been saying goodbye to him for several years. I'm sorry. I don't mean to bump people out with this, but we put him into hospice about a month before he passed away because he qualified in that end of life, like transition had begun. There was weight changes. There were like blood pressure, heart stuff, all that stuff going on. And he probably should have done it a long time before, but he was kind of in his late stages. And so I was sitting down yesterday having the same exact meeting about my mom. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this could be happening again. And that should be maybe it is what's giving me sorrow.
I think it is.
But honey. But my mind is preoccupied with these other things, it seems like. Like that's where I'm going to, is to trying to manage those things.
Friends and or family and children and parenting, you're trying to... So here's my thing. First of all, back to your mom. It is heartbreaking to think about losing your mom so soon after losing your dad. But, you know, we were saying... how it was kind of a blessing with her Alzheimer's that she would never know she was a widow. I do think she knows she's a widow. And I think that's why she's declining.
No, I told you the same thing. Like when I was having lunch with her and there was just something different. And then we had this, you know, this meeting to talk about it. And look, people know a lot about Alzheimer's. It has been studied so heavily over the last 20, 30 years. I mean, since my granddad had it in 1989 when he passed away. Like that's when I started learning about it. So it's been a long time. you can study brain activity. You can look at a brain and see how much of it's working. And all of that evidence tends to suggest that they do lose, you know, their grip on reality. And then the next thing that happens is their brain doesn't get along with their body and they forget how to swallow food and chew food. And that's when it gets kind of dangerous. And in between that, just a lot of the other basic memories of their life or recognitions of people they see every day goes away. But there's really no, when you're at that point, you're not able to talk. Mm-hmm. So there's really no way of knowing what exactly is going on in their mind. Mm-hmm. And I even talked about this with my daughter because she's not eating as much anymore. And it,
your mom, not your
right.
Daughter.
My mom. And that it started about a month ago, like right around the time that dad passed away, even though they didn't really spend that much time together toward the end. They did some, mm-hmm. I think maybe even on like a spiritual level, she just knows.
I think so.
She just knows. And I mean, God, how sad is all of that? But I think it's possible that that's what's happening right now, which is equal parts heartbreaking and also kind of sweet because they were so in love with each other. It was ridiculous. Anyway, so that's all going on this week and it's going to continue to go on. And this will probably be the year that I would have expected this to have been the year that I remembered that I, you know, won the amazing race and $1 million, but that's not what this year is going to be remembered for because there's a good chance that in this calendar year, it's going to happen to me twice. And then that's going to be it. So why, what would you tell me like as the proxy, because I probably need to talk to someone just as much as you do, if not more, why am I obsessing over these other things?
Because I believe those other things, and we're talking about those other things. We have, you know, friend relationships, you know, that need some solving and parenting things, those things you feel like you have a measure of control over.
I can do something about
it. You can make phone calls to help a friend. Mm-hmm. You can send an email to help a friend. You can, you know, comfort your son who, you know, experienced some disappointment in a sporting thing. Like you can check a box on those. And so therefore you feel like, even though you really don't have control over that, because we cannot control, it is none of our business how other people have emotions and react to things. So their emotions and reactions are not our business, but we feel like we can control them. And I believe you are trying to avoid a deep grief over your dad. And
you think I am? I mean,
the impending grief of your mother.
The second one feels more real to me. And you've asked me a bunch of times why I haven't like openly been grieving a ton. It's just, I've been doing it for 4 years.
No, I know. I know, honey. And I know you have been sad. And I know I know you have been sad about it. But I that is my theory. And I know that you are definitely the court jester and that you play an important role in our family. That, I mean, we wrote about it in our book about the secret contracts, like your job, you believe your job is to, you know, deliver news with jazz hands. And no matter how deep things get, you're going to be our comedy leader and you're going to make us laugh and sing and dance, which we love and brings us value. But there are times when you need to just sit and pause and grieve. And I think that you may be avoiding that, is my belief. But I also believe you are a dear, devoted friend. And you are a dear, devoted dad. You quit your job so you could be a more active parent. So when your friends and your family are hurting, you want to solve. So I do like that. I'm not trying to minimize that, but what I'm saying to you is that it is impossible to solve that. Tying your emotions and happiness, and this is like what I was preached to me that I need to remember, like tying your emotions and happiness to the emotions and happiness, like whether your friend is losing his job, like it is not possible for us, like that is like the definition of codependency, which is like, and I need to finish that book, Codependency No More, because it's impossible to unravel, and it just does nobody any good when we're that codependent.
Okay, so what do I do?
Deep breaths. So, and that was my next question. So like I have to say, even my, I did take a probably more Advil than my body should handle. So my back is feeling better even having this conversation.
I was about to ask that. Like I was gonna ask how you're feeling now.
I think sharing, for me, kind of sharing that mental load and just talking about things really helps. It's not helpful for everybody.
You,
but it helps.
You like to hear when I'm when I'm struggling.
Penn cried the other day and I was so happy.
No, this is true. I wasn't openly bawling, but I teared up a bit and I told her, I'm like, I'm not handling this as well as I should be. And you looked at me and you said, can I just tell you how good that makes me feel?
Because I thought I was taking crazy pills.
And that, because you were having a tough time with it as well?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I guess you're welcome.
Because, well, honestly, it made me feel like my emotions were valid, which I don't really need permission to have those emotions. But it was, you know, something I was really upset about. And I found out you were upset about it, too. And I cry a lot. So to have a matched emotion, it made me feel valid. And I have to say, so here's another thing. I was talking to a friend who, you know, I feel like right now we're in this season with friends experiencing loss of different things. And I did the thing where I was like, do you just want me to be sad? And we can just be sad and mad and just really upset about this thing that had happened. And I'm like, and then I said, let me know, you know, when you want, when you want to cheer up. And we, you know, I sent silly memes and I did all that stuff because I think that's okay too. I think it's okay to like be silly and jokey too, but also there's a point in time when I need to hear it. And I told you this, there's a point in time where even if you don't know that it's true, Penn, I need to hear you say it's going to be okay. And I don't, that for me, it doesn't always make everybody feel better. And my friend's like, actually, that doesn't make me feel better. And I was like, okay. I zip, rewind, pretend I didn't say it. But for me, it helps to hear somebody say, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through it.
Hey, you just did two things. You just did something interesting. You said everything's going to be okay the first time. And then you said, it's going to be okay the second time. And it's funny, when you said everything's going to be okay, I didn't like that. Okay. It just felt like an unattainable promise. And it also felt like you're saying like life is going to be perfect after this, but I really liked it's going to be okay.
That's
better.
Interesting.
Are you like that too? Or is it just me?
No, first of all, I'm the biggest believer that words matter.
Oh yeah.
Words matter. So
I like it's going to be okay.
It's
because
very specific.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think if someone's having a specific problem and you say it's going to be okay, it allows you to really understand exactly what it is that they're saying. But if you say everything's going to be okay, no, it's not. Everything's not going to be okay.
But I also understand why people reject that. And in this situation, when I was trying to tell a friend who was going through some stuff, it's going to be okay seemed to minimize. To her, it felt like it was minimizing the thing that is pretty monumental. So I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. Those are the wrong words. Words are hard and not appropriate. But there are moments I need to hear it. So for anybody out there who's driving their car or on a walk or folding laundry and you are carrying something very heavy that's, you know, on your heart and you're really sad, I'm gonna say it's gonna be okay. It is. It's gonna be okay. Because you have made it through every other really hard emotion that you've inflicted on yourself.
Or that's been inflicted on you. It's not always, always self-inflicted.
That's true. You have, if you're listening to this now, you've made it. Like you've done all of those hard days. Like you've lived through a lot of hard days and you will get past this. And I have to remind myself that it's going to be okay. And it's a muscle that I have to flex and I have to, I feel like I wish there was a gym that we could go to. I guess that's therapy, right?
Yeah.
That like,
you but know, most people don't go to it.
That instead of doing squats could just be, you know, phrases that I need to learn and just help me sit and just like force me to sit on my butt and experience emotions. Because let me tell you, I've been avoiding them my whole entire life. And I don't know why. I have very loving parents and never did they ever say, Kim, you're bothering me with your emotions. Like nobody ever said that. Nobody ever minimized me like that I remember. I don't know. What do you think? I mean,
I think, okay, you just said a lot.
Okay, I'm sorry.
First of all, I think you may have just like made someone's day or someone's week or someone's year by just saying that, because there isn't always somebody that you're with, even if they're like your life partner, who are programmed or even capable of saying it's going to be okay. That's some people just don't say that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, you keep talking about the difference between real problems and self-inflicted problems. You have said it yourself. Like, we're pretty, like, if an alien landed on Earth and, like, met us, they'd be like, you guys should be way more happy than everybody else. You should be so happy. You have beautiful kids. You have, like, you know, you have a stable marriage. You work your own jobs. You know, but we obviously have stress points that other people don't have when you have the job that we have. But I think on the balance, like, we should be loaded down lower on the seesaw. So anything that you say or theorize as to explain why that's the case, I'm here for it. And I want to understand it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've appreciated everything that you've said about that today. That, like, that happiness is unsustainable and that you have to... You know, it. I think one of the things that you said earlier on this week that I'll remember was happiness is only relative to unhappiness, mm-hmm. right? And to struggles. Mm-hmm. Am I answering the?
Yeah, I believe so. And you know, I'm also the first to admit that I may be getting these words wrong because it's pretty nuanced. But it for me, and it may not help everybody to visualize it in this way. But for me, it was really, as somebody who deals with depression, and my default state is a little lower to the ground on the seesaw. It was helpful for me to know that happiness, like that peak you hit on the top of the seesaw, nobody stays there for long. In my head, I really thought, even you, Penn, like, because you are kind of naturally high, you know, naturally happy person. I just thought that everybody was kind of floating up top. And to hear that, no, nobody stays there. Nobody stays there. We're all, I'm thinking, the Kardashians, they have more money than God intended one person to have. But they, according to the headlines, I've not seen a show, but they have so much drama. There's, you know, there's divorces and people's cheating on them. And like, no, like even that much, you know, that's a really bad example. Who's another example?
Well, I can go the other way mm-hmm. and say my buddy just got back from Africa and said that he was in this community in Kenya. And he said that at least from his perspective, mm-hmm. despite the fact that they had nothing compared to us, like, and that a large percentage of their day was, where do we get food? Where do we get shelter? Like, what happens next? He came back with this perspective that as a whole, they seemed happier. Incredibly content mm-hmm. because they had each other and they had, he used the term community. Mm-hmm. They had this sense of community and empathy where they were, I think, able to struggle together. And he thought, he was like, I think this is, again, I'm not saying that this is a blanket statement, but he came home and he was like, I think these people are happier than I am.
Yeah.
So I'm just going in the other direction and saying that maybe it is that sense of community that did it for them. And I think you could accomplish community in a lot of ways. You could accomplish community with a family. You can accomplish it with your spouse. You can accomplish it with a big group of people. By like making those connections mm-hmm. as maybe it's just me as an extrovert. I believe that might be one of the keys to finding happiness is is recognizing and embracing
and
all of those connections.
Maybe happiness is not the key word we should be using. More contentment.
Yeah, or, yeah. And that was the word that he used too. Mm-hmm. So again, self-inflicted, right? Mm-hmm. Like we,
and also I say this all the time, like this stuff in our house is just stuff, and that's like none of that stuff is important. And I do, it's so funny. I have vision. There's a lot of people who always want to, you know, go like have a bigger house and more stuff. I'm in this stage in life where I want less. I'm actually doing this thing where I'm trying to get rid of, we have too much stuff. I have too many things in my closet. I have too much. So I'm actively getting rid of two things a day. Mm-hmm. So some of them are, you know, expired skincare products that I've had, you know, I found something that expired like 5 years ago. That's easy. I can throw that away. But I have other things that, and the reason why two for me is two seems very attainable. But if I have two books that I've already read, I can call my neighbor and walk those over and drop those off on her doorstep.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like when you just spend a weekend and you declutter an entire attic space and you just have a lot of stuff that ends up in the trash or ends up in donation bins that end up in the trash. And I don't think there's like a really, and there's no intention about where that stuff goes, and we're creating a lot of waste. So two things a day has been very sustainable for me.
I'm going to ask you this question with love.
Oh, geez.
How many things do you think you buy a day?
That is a very good question. And it's a fair question. I think I'm definitely replacing the two things. No. Well, I mean, so some of the stuff I buy is, you know, coffee and dog food. I'm thinking of like my last trip to Target and makeup remover, and kids just started school. So there's like the back to school stuff. So there's been a lot, and I think that's maybe part of it. There's been a lot of consuming, and I just want to make sure I'm intentional about the stuff I'm not using. So I don't have a problem with consumption. I love clothes. I love shopping. But if I'm not using something, I want to make sure somebody else can use it.
Yeah, no, that's great. I do in no way, like our closet isn't big enough for you to be like a mega shopper.
Yeah.
Right. I'm glad our closet is not one of those, you probably aren't, but I'm glad it's not one of those closets that has like a table and an office and a giant
mirror.
I
love the look of those closets, but I think it would then inspire me to fill it when I don't need to fill it. I love clothes, but I have a uniform. I love Evereve, as you guys know. And so I went to Evereve in April or May, and I literally wear the same probably six or seven pieces from there and Lola's like, oh look, it's your uniform. And you know, I'm out of my uniform today because I'm doing laundry. But that's the only reason.
But so, I'm with you. I bought three pairs of shoes this year.
That's huge for you.
I don't normally buy shoes.
Yeah.
And so I want to throw out some shoes, but I do think there could be something to us in where we could just like make it almost a goal to get rid of less than we're buying.
Rid of more than we're buying.
Sorry. Yeah. And if that might make our lives happy because we'll just be a little more decluttered.
Changing the subject real quick. Another thing I was talking to my mom about was, you know, when we get so in our own heads about our stuff, that's like exactly the time to reach out and be helpful to somebody else. You guys have heard me say this. I've been doing the clear the list thing. We cleared a lot of lists, Holderness.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
And we need to thank the people who are listening because I bet you a lot of them took part.
Yeah.
Because it was. I mean, we cleared lists ourselves, but then we put a post out and others were able to do it as well. And we got to see, my favorite part was just the comments. And it was like, here's my list, no pressure. And then someone underneath who's another part of the Holderness family posts just says, hey, check your list, and then you see the gratitude. Mm-hmm. And like we got to watch it all unfold over a couple of days.
I will say it breaks my heart because there's like 25,000-30,000 comments there, and probably half of them are teachers needing help, and then a lot of teachers are like, we can't even, our school district won't let us share. Anyway, the post is there if you need, maybe we'll try to link to it in the show notes here because there's still a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. I was like, oh honey, we're running out of we had to have a budget for it, and we exceeded our budget.
We cleared a lot of those lists before we even posted it on our own. So
I just feel so bad.
That is, to me, that's a great, I think that's a great thing nationwide. I understand why some school systems aren't doing it, but I also don't really understand why they won't allow it. But I also don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know the official reasons why, but I know in the county where we are, they're not technically allowed to share their lists publicly.
Which, okay, but why?
I don't know. My perception would be like, but I don't know this is fact at all. That it's not a good look because, so what it is, I looked at the lists and most of them are what make the classroom special.
Yeah.
It's the little pop sockets that the kids can use like during the reading centers or a book series or a rug for the reading nook or something that hangs on the wall. Like those things that make a classroom special that I think are very, very important.
That's great.
Yeah.
Honey, if someone put a list in front of me, if you're a teacher, you're not making enough money.
Oh, well, no. I think the school, what I'm saying is I think the school district says, oh, we give you enough money for the paper, the pencils, the markers, the post-it notes.
Right.
So they're like, stop, panhandling for more because you don't need more is probably what the school district is saying.
Okay.
But I think that what makes it special for our kids is all those little things that cost a lot of money out of the teacher's pocket. So.
Yes, and.
Yes.
If someone sent me a teacher's list that said a bottle of vodka and 24 Trulies, I will also clear that list.
I mean, she didn't put Trulies, but there was a couple teachers who had Starbucks or like those. And I was like, heck yeah, add to cart. And then like snack stuff. There was obviously snacks for the teachers. I was like, yes, this is what you need. Yes. Add to cart. So
I don't care what they ask for.
I know.
It's like if it's something. It's almost better for me if we could get them something personal.
I mean, if I could send them a case of wine, if I could, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, we have so much to say. PC, he's very good. He's a very good kid. He's a very good kid. But I think there were a few days in preschool and in hindsight, I'm like, was he that? But that we got a call one day. They're like, he's, can you come pick him up? It's like he's been shot out of a cannon after drinking 12 shots of espresso.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm so sorry. But that was literally the last behavior call we got for him. And I got them each six bottles of wine for the end of year school gift. And I was like, in hindsight, I'm like, that's probably inappropriate. But
I don't know.
I was like walking in, click, clink, click, clink.
Yeah.
So we started talking about how the stress of daily life threw my back out. We kind of circled back to the pursuit of happiness is a false pursuit. We should pursue with some neutrality and just witnessing and having confidence in the ability to deal with emotion. And then we ended with teacher's list.
Yeah, that worked out great.
How are you feeling, Ben?
I'm fine. I'm glad I got to talk a little bit about my mom's. I'm glad I got to get that out there. I agree with everyone, including Ian Morgan Cron, who comes on the show all the time, who tells me I need to sit in the suck. And I think today's podcast was a little bit of me sitting in the suck, and that's good. And I do feel better. I didn't have an actual physical ailment that was surrounding how I was feeling. So I would like to know more about how you are feeling.
I'm feeling better.
Okay.
I'm feeling better. And it's last night we have new BFFs, and we've never met them in person, but we just Zoom with them and because they don't live in the same city, and it's been fun. And Penn and I got on the Zoom 5 minutes early, and we were just staring at the computer screen waiting for our friends to join us. And we kind of turned to each other. We're like, I guess we could talk to each other. And it was almost as if the reaction was so funny because and you're like, I don't know, everybody's dying. Because I have to say, in our life, many people have died lately.
Yeah.
And there are people and kids who are sick with very serious ailments. And like all this, he was like, I don't know, there's a lot of dying and sickness and people losing. And I don't know. I'm like, you're right. And we kind of just laughed and sat there.
Laughing.
Because if we started to talk about it, it would just be. Like,
they would jump on the call and be like, hey, guys, and we'd be weeping in front of the computer.
But so I think this was helpful to talk to you, babe.
Thank you. I love talking to you. I feel better. I took a COVID test before this. I was feeling so out of sorts.
Maybe that's like, it's my back and you kind of give yourself COVID. He does not have COVID.
No, I'm more worried about the amoebas.
You guys, okay. We did this video about like a Gen X summer. Uh-huh. And it was...
Wait, if you say this, you know we're going to get like 20 comments from doctors.
It's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
It's towards the end of the podcast. They're not listening.
Okay.
And so it was the most fun we've had shooting a video in... I think it's the most fun I've ever had shooting a video because we were acting like idiots. And that it took us 2 days, but the first day was just Penn and I shooting it. And I need to put the bloopers out somewhere because the line was like...
The bloopers are on the end.
No, but not you jumping into the water.
Yeah, it is.
From my cell phone and missing the shot?
Oh, no, not that.
Okay. What was the line of the song?
Just something. I mean, it's about a Gen X summer, and so it was about how like we just always would put rope swings into like disgusting bodies of water.
Yeah. So there was.
I'm gonna ride this rope swing into a river that's disgusting.
Right. So in our town, there was literally a creek. I'm not even, it's not a river. It's a waterway. It's a creek. It goes from. It connects the lakes, and it is.
Yes.
And we're in the south, so it's clay. So it's very brown and disgusting. On the very best day, it's brown and disgusting. And there hadn't been a lot of rain, and so we find this rope swing. We go on this like half a mile hike to this adorable rope swing, and I set up my cell phone to catch one angle on a tripod, and then I'm holding a camera on the other, and I was like, whatever you do, babe, just don't get your face under the water because
that's impossible.
Warm.
If you go off a rope swing, how do you not go underwater?
I don't know. But because the water's warm, and you hear about it all the time, there's these brain eating amoebas.
The water was cool and the water was moving. So it's like she starts blowing me up about brain eating amoebas on the way home. Yeah. And I did not sleep a wink that night. I like woke up and did WebMD stuff. I took 2 neti pots.
Yeah.
I set an alarm on my calendar.
He set an alarm. Or he set something in his calendar 2 weeks after. He's like, you will not die. But he still thinks, it's been 3 weeks now, he still thinks he may.
Well, because there's this guy from, so then this week the freaking news comes out. Like, sorry, I shouldn't say freaking news, but this kid from Florida is hospitalized with it. And they said he had gotten into this thing on July 1st. So that's more than 2 weeks worth of time.
So you could still die.
It's still bothering me.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but like this is our brain right now that we,
that's self-inflicted. We have, it seems like, right?
Yeah. We have like, your mom is, you know, we're doing the long, slow, terrible goodbye with your mom now. But let's focus on the possibility that you have a brain-eating amoeba.
You're saying it like that. You legit talked about it for like 2 hours that afternoon, and it scared the crap out of me.
I know. I'm sorry. It's my fault.
Okay. I just hope I don't have it. And I woke up with a slight headache this morning.
If you die, I'm going to be so mad. It's going to ruin my whole day. Don't go dying on me, Holderness. I love you.
I love you too. I'm hoping that by Tuesday, by the time this comes out, I am still okay.
Hey,
I'm glad you're feeling better.
For those listening, it's going to be okay. I love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.